The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to New Year's Eve, 1985.
Detroit.
Two verses.
The University of Detroit Kazoo Orchestra brings
in collaboration
you,
with WQRS.
That's right.
Party flavor accompaniment.
That's right. Presents Ask the Professor.
I think they call them noisemakers.
The radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors. In an unrehearsed session of questions
and answers.
Just
the way Franco Corelli does it.
Yeah.
Joan Sutherland.
It's lighting up.
You need to turn down your amp just a bit, George.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. It's the mixer.
This is our...
Can't be the liquor.
One can obviously tell this is our New Year show. That's right. We're winding down on 1 year.
And keep those gifts coming in.
Yes. And today we have our regular panel, or most of it, with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to
Even
have you.
Even when I say humbug, I'm having a good time.
We know that. Right. We know that.
Particularly when you say humbug.
George is right, from the School of Education and from Wayne County Community College, Professor Wallace Peace.
Hi, Mom.
On Wallace's right, from the Department of Mathematics, Professor Mary Jo Nichols.
It's nice to be here.
It's nice to have you here. George is unstoppable. And on Mary Jo's right, my left, from the Department of Political Science, Professor John Clemanski.
I I got it in.
There. We've gone
Thanks,
around
George.
The table.
Very good.
Musically.
Very good. Very good. Most of the questions you hear in this program are sent in by our listeners. If you stump the panel, you get a bumper sticker and an autograph photograph. If you don't stump the panel, you get a bumper sticker and a photographed autograph. Okay.
So everybody's a winner here, really.
Really.
Even the losers.
On our last program, we were in the midst of some questions from Rita Rooney of Lee, Massachusetts, on presidents.
Okay.
And you had gotten one question, and we are just about to start the second question, which is... Who was the first black vice presidential candidate?
Frederick Douglass.
That's right. And interestingly,
see, you thought I wouldn't know that, didn't you?
He was nominated with Victoria Woodhull in 1872.
Who's that?
That's how I got
the answer to the first question last week.
Oh, way last week, you
mean? Yes, the first woman presidential candidate.
He didn't win, unfortunately.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
That's
true.
But he did do well after that. I mean, he became an ambassador to Haiti, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Which president?
But he really would have been a great vice president.
Which president married at the youngest age? Which president married at the youngest age?
Do you mean
did he also have
his age
the most
or his wife?
Did he also
his
have age. The most children?
No, I don't think so.
One doesn't that would necessarily be Tyler. Follow, does it?
Well, no, it's not Tyler. No.
Who got married young in
1800s?
Everybody back then got married young.
He was president in the 1800s?
Yes.
In the early 1800s?
No.
No.
In the mid-1800s?
The mid, after the Civil War.
After the Civil War, so Grant.
No,
Harrison.
He was already.
Nope.
Well, then Hayes.
Cleveland.
No.
McKinley.
After Lincoln.
Oh, Jess Johnson?
Yes.
You mean?
Andrew Johnson. Johnson.
That's right.
Andy Johnson.
Yes, he was married at the age of 19 in 1827.
That's not so wrong.
I see.
No. What three presidents served in the same year?
Now, we've had this question before, and there are several answers.
Oh, I know.
Because we figured it
there
out.
There was William Henry Harrison.
Yes.
And John Tyler.
That's right.
And the one just before William Henry Harrison.
That's right.
Right. Taylor.
No.
Van Buren. Or
Van Buren.
Oh, Marty.
So yes.
It
was
it
Van Buren, William too. Henry Harrison, and John Tyler.
That's right.
Who was
after
also
Garfield
known
was
as typical
or something?
No, I don't.
It did.
So.
I think it did happen in the 1880s again. I'm not sure about that, but I think that's right.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll check that.
Okay. All right.
Check
get
that.
Back to you next year.
All right. Very good. James Buchanan was the only bachelor president who was also a bachelor when elected but married in the White House.
Cleveland.
That's right. Good old Grover.
He was bachelor but not childless.
That's true.
No.
Hey, Ma, ha, ha, hey, Pa, ha. Where's your... what's that?
Ha, ha, ha.
Gone
where's
to the
my
White
Pa?
House.
Gone to the White House. Ha, ha, ha.
That's right. Who was the first child born in the White House?
Oh, dear.
The first child born
One of
in
the
White
Adams offspring?
No. No.
Did it take a long time to have a child born in the White House?
Well, you had to get elected
first. Well, 1806.
First. Oh, 1806. Must have been a Jefferson.
Yes, it was. It was James Madison Randolph, the grandson of Thomas Jefferson.
Ah, so it wasn't his...
Oh, a grandson.
It wasn't his issue.
Oh, that was a misleading question.
That was a trick question.
We can't get them if you give trick questions. Oh, you should say this is a trick question and then ask it.
I really should. You're right. Okay. In the Civil War, which president's home was declared neutral territory by both sides?
George Washington.
That's right. That's right.
Whenever
that's
there's a doubt,
of them.
You should always say George Washington. You've got to be right.
Exactly.
Why not Jefferson, too?
Well, because George Washington was the first president. Jefferson was not. I thought everybody knew that. Jeez, he knows nothing. And he's on this show.
He's so cute.
Is that why we keep him?
Yeah.
He's the white man.
Imagine thinking,
hilarious.
Imagine like thinking pet, Jefferson you know. Was the first president.
I
Isn't
know.
That pitiful?
You know, I have students like this.
Yeah. Name a presidents who did not attend college.
Name a president.
Name nine.
Oh,
presidents.
Nine. Presidents.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
Washington.
Yes.
Adams.
Yeah, no.
No, Adams.
Adams was very well educated.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew
oh,
Johnson.
Harry Truman.
Andrew Johnson. Truman.
Harry Truman.
Yes.
Didn't go to college. How many is that?
One, two, three, four.
Any Out others in the 1900s?
No.
Okay.
No.
So oh, so we're 1800s. In the 1800s.
Yes.
I don't
William
think.
Henry Harrison?
No, I think
nope.
he did.
No, he
Zach
ran.
Taylor?
Taylor.
Taylor and Tyler.
Tyler's not on the list.
Oh, Jackson.
Yes.
Jackson.
That's right.
Marty, I think Marty Van Buren went to college.
No, he didn't.
He didn't?
That's
Boy, he put on a good act.
He applied to college but didn't get in.
Oh, okay. That we must be nearly there.
You've got two more to go.
Grant.
One, our most famous president, the one whose name always pops up.
Fillmore. Abraham Lincoln.
Well, he, you know, did he or didn't he go to college? I mean,
you know, did he or did he not install bathtubs in the White House?
The
know?
Fact is, he became the president of the University of Buffalo.
That's true.
So, can you say he went to college or can
well, he
you
did
say
because
he
had to go there in the morning to get
to
work.
Right.
Yeah. Yes,
you got it. So sure. In fact, he went to college. Now,
that's,
what does
that's
went
not what
to
they
mean?
Meant.
See,
what they meant was did
well,
he
see,
attend
he
as a student, as a matriculated student, and in this case, I feel he was not.
I think you're right. No, he was there as an administrator, which God knows.
Which
is
means
not
he didn't need any
learning.
Education
that's
at
right.
all.
That's right. That's sure. And there's one final president.
Eisenhower.
After a town in Ohio.
President Massillon?
Cleveland.
Youngstown.
Cleveland. Oh, President
Defiance. President Akron.
Cincinnati.
Yes. Okay. Which nicknames, what nicknames were given to the following presidents? The father of American independence. Who was
George
that?
Washington.
No.
Thomas Jefferson.
No.
Madden.
John Adams.
John Adams. That's right.
See, I only had 39 to go out.
The father of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
James Madison.
No.
Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson.
TJ.
Father of the Constitution.
George Washington.
No.
Madison.
Madison, yes. Hero of New Orleans.
Andrew Jackson.
Yes, and Professor.
Wilson.
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 And finally, which president buried his horse?
Where?
I don't know.
In Grant's tomb. buried his horse.
That's what the question says.
Well, maybe several of them did.
Washington, right under the cherry tree.
Nope.
Is it early 1800s?
No, mid.
Mid 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, that's probably his entire claim to fame.
Pretty much.
Well,
James Knox Polk.
Must be Pierce.
That's one of those types. Yeah. It's Tyler.
I was going to say, it couldn't have been Harrison because his horse probably buried him.
Right.
off of such a short time.
Well, panel, you did very, very well with these, though. You did not get stumped at all.
No. We're pretty good on presidents, actually.
Yes, you are. Yes, you really are. So we
and
thank.
I'm not bragging. I'm just stating a fact.
Just a fact.
That's right.
Yeah.
We thank Rita Rooney. Sorry she didn't stump the panel, but those were fun. Those were good questions.
Yeah, those were good.
Get her photographed autograph and her bumper sticker, and send in some more. Send in some more.
Yeah.
Our next set of questions comes from Jim Styro.
Oh yeah.
You know him?
Flake.
Oh. Okay. Must be a student of yours.
He says, "I listen to you every week, except sometimes." I think you are great and funny.
He doesn't listen to anybody.
Please don't let
ask his
professor
father.
Stop. Professor Pickering, stop sulking. This letter is about to stop.
Okay. Oh, it's a telegram.
Oh,
that's what
stop.
It is. It's exactly what it is. All right.
Dear Jim, I know what you're doing. Stop.
Since we are about to embark on a new year, he has some appropriate questions
okay.
on the new year and calendars and stuff like that. Okay.
Very good.
Is New Year's Day a legal holiday, a national holiday, an international holiday, or a drinker's holiday?
It's a cosmic
yes.
holiday.
Yes, all of them.
It's everything but an international holiday.
No.
It's a legal holiday.
It's a legal holiday. Yes, yes. Okay.
True.
In the past, different cultures have had different methods of recognizing the beginning of a new year.
Yeah, some used to kill the king.
That's true. Please explain, as well as you are able, how each of the following cultures recognize the beginning of the year.
Kill the king.
What did the Egyptians do? How did they start the new year? When did the new year begin?
They made mummies.
No, I think they roasted a dog.
No, this is not in terms of what ceremony did they do. This is like what indicated to the Egyptians that the new year had begun.
Oh,
well, it was January the 1st.
That's right.
The flood receded.
It's the flood. That's right. And the Greeks.
January the 1st.
The Greeks. What? How did the Greeks start New Year's?
They had the Olympics.
What was New Year's for the ancient Greeks?
Well, I'd spend a quiet evening at home. Nothing
what
fancy.
What time of the year was New Year's for the ancient Greeks?
The first midsummer. Of January.
No.
Everybody
Spring.
Knows that.
No.
Fall.
Nope.
Summer.
Yes.
That's all that's left.
I said
left.
Midsummer.
That's right.
Was it the midsummer or beginning of the summer?
Well.
It was a dream.
When is midsummer?
Oh, about, it depends on where you are.
21st of June.
Yes, exactly. It was June 21st. June 21st was the beginning of the Greek New Year.
Oh.
Yes.
How nice.
See?
When did the Babylonians, Persians, and Russians begin the New Year?
January 12th or something
no.
like that. 6th.
No.
When? You mean in ancient times?
Yes.
March 20th. It was, you know.
That's close enough.
Yeah.
It's with the spring equinox,
yeah.
in other words. And how about the Romans?
They didn't believe in it. They skipped it. They were busy.
Well, the Romans.
They would, what would they do?
They had a festival. Anybody
the Christians
know what
they had
the
an orgy, I bet, and they
the
burned
lights.
Christians
festival
at the stake.
Festival of the lights.
No, it was the festival of Anchilia.
Festival. Oh, Anchilia.
The Mayans
eat
Christians, and that would start the year off.
No, that's a little later.
When is it?
Sometime in March, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Good way to start.
Yeah.
Who designed the Julian calendar, which was the first to provide for leap years and set January 1st as the date for New Year's Day?
Julius.
No.
Pope.
No.
What do you mean, who did it?
Who did it? Who invented the Julian calendar?
Some monk.
Nope.
No.
Caesar.
Caesar's the one who was responsible for implementing it. But that's why it's called the Julian calendar.
Yeah.
But he did not do it.
Oh,
somebody
Portia.
Else did it. Not Portia.
Really?
It was Sosigenes of Alexandria.
Well, we get credit
with
for
offices
that.
Yes, in Cairo also.
That's oh, yeah. It was one of those time consultants.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the ancient world.
Sosigenes,
Inc.
Yes.
Who is that?
It was one of those Alexandrians.
It was a time consulting firm.
Yeah, he goes, hey, Julie, baby, I got a great calendar for you.
That's right. That's
the
right.
People
love
are
going to
love it.
Yeah.
People are going to love it. We got the T-shirts.
Who loves
ready
it, baby?
To go.
Yeah. Did you ever hear
we can sell,
Angeline?
No. We can sell a million of them.
We got the radio spots all cut. I mean, you're going to love it.
I don't believe this.
While we're debating this, let's take a little break, and I'll try to find some Coke.
You're listening to a special classic edition of Ask the Professor from New Year's of 1985. Matt Mayo and the current panel of professors will return next week with more brand new shows. Now, let's return to this classic show from New Year's of 1985.
A cola. We're back in the midst of some real frivolity.
Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm.
George, you're going
to have to know I'm right.
You're going to have to open up a little more, George.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I keep holding it.
I know you do.
Don't be so shy.
I know. Yeah, this is really
something. I just can't let go.
We're dealing with some questions from someone named Jim Styro, and it's all about calendars and
I can let
like
go
that.
Of him, all right.
Yeah.
No problem there.
What is the custom of first footing, and from where does it come?
First footing. It's the first person you throw out of your house at the beginning of the new year.
Well, that's close, only it's a little reversed. You've
that,
got it backwards.
It's the first person that you let in,
yes.
And they bring you a present to be good luck. It's Scottish or something.
That's it, exactly. Yes, very
and,
good.
And it's just dumb as golf.
Yes. Yes, that's about it. Yes, that's a good way of describing it. Uh-huh. The month of January was named in honor of the Roman god Janus.
True.
Janus
yeah.
was the god of...
Two faces.
Joplin.
Was he the god of new life, revelry, doors, or aluminum siding?
It's not D.
No.
But he did got a new life.
It's not new life.
So, humor.
Nope.
Doors.
Doors.
Oh, doors, of course.
Yeah.
Opening into...
A new life.
January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There it is.
Right.
Why do you need a god for doors?
Well, the Romans had
doors. Doors are some of the most important things in the universe.
But why do you need a god for one?
It's not that you don't need a god for one. There is a god for them, whether you need it or not.
I'd just like to know how come Janus became the name of a British magazine on corporal punishment, but then it's a different question altogether.
That's true.
It depends what doors you're opening.
I guess, yes.
Or closing.
Yes. Christian churches celebrate January 1st as the Feast of Weeks, the Circumcision, the Castration, or Feasts.
The Circumcision.
That's right. That's right. All right. And he says, that's all, folks. All right.
Did we win?
Notice how we got quiet after that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was
That's
circumspect.
All right.
Yes, really. Well, we thank Mr. Styro and send in some more.
Yeah, those are okay.
Wherever you are these days, you'll get something for all this. Okay. Our next set of questions comes from, I think, Thomas C. Bing. The handwriting is very difficult to decipher from Los Angeles, California. So if somebody in Los Angeles recognizes these questions and your first name is Thomas and your middle initial is C.
It's you.
It's you.
It's yours. We're doing you now.
That's right. We don't have an address here, do we? Oh, we do have an address. Okay, good. All right. All right. That's good. He says, thank you for brightening many Sunday nights with your interesting and witty program. I hope your show from the campsite will become an annual event. Oh, our picnics are always,
they're a picnic.
Yes. Passing is 70% on the following questions. How many atoms are there in an apple pie expressed to the nearest factor of 10 and in numerical rather than exponential form?
Oh, let's get the next guy's question.
Well, yeah. Let's skip to
how many
two.
Molecules in a mole? You got 6.02 times 10 to the 23rd, and how many would you have in an apple times how many apples in a pie? We're talking about quite
a few.
We're
talking about three apples to a pie.
Yeah.
Three apples?
Four? Depends how big you make. I don't know. What's your recipe for apple pie? How many atoms is your recipe call for?
I don't break it down quite that far. I just do molecules.
So what are we talking? There's a few billion.
They're going to want this recipe.
I would say several billion.
Yeah.
A few billion.
Yeah, there's something. It's several.
Is it Adam's apples?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Adam's.
I don't put any Adam's apples in my pie.
No, he didn't mean that, John.
Oh.
It's apples Adam's.
Oh.
Sorry, John's got this dyslexic thing.
Yes, he really does.
I have two questions.
Yes.
The first one is...
But no answers.
How many does he mention? And the second one is...
Why?
Are the rest of his questions like that?
No.
Oh, okay.
How many
what, to
does
the first
he
or
answer?
The second?
The answer he has is 400 septillion.
I don't think that's right. That sounds too high to me.
But there's a margin of error there, I think, that,
well,
you know, give
a
septillion.
What size? He didn't say what size
pie
was.
I mean, what
standard size
about?
Or large.
Is it a 9-incher or a 7-incher?
Yeah. Yeah. Several different kinds.
It could be deep dish.
He's got
or
a
one
better question.
One small one.
Yeah. I mean, when you get into apple pies, man, you don't fool around. There's all kinds of technical details. You got to sweat the details.
We should have been in the question.
Apple pie here.
Yes.
I think it's not unreasonable
to ask
for competent questions.
That's right. I have to throw this question out.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
No, this question's thrown out.
It's only fair.
It's probably wrong
anyway.
Discard
this question. That's right. Next question. Why are manhole covers round?
Because they are not square.
So they won't fall.
That's as good as the answer I have in front of me.
Which is?
It's the only shape that can't fall through the hole on the edge.
Right.
Well, no, it's because it's the same shape as the hole that it's in.
You also can get a bigger area with a round surface.
No,
you know,
that's true.
So that could
you
happen.
You can get a bigger man down.
Down there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you can a rectangle.
Okay. What makes curly hair curly?
All jeans. Right, Kamansky.
Yeah, jeans.
Permanence.
Yeah.
No, there's a certain physical property to it.
When you do the wave at Tiger Stadium.
Yeah.
Yes.
A beautician can do it.
Yes. Yes.
A physical property.
Yes.
Well, the heat is applied to one side of the strand of hair, and it makes it bend.
What makes it curl? I don't know.
The answer I have is that curly hair is flat as opposed to straight hair, which is round.
Oh.
So it's the difference between spaghetti and linguine.
Right.
You know, some people have linguine on their heads, and others
have spaghetti.
But linguine
doesn't curl.
If you do it right.
Yes.
Around your fork, it does.
Let's have curled linguine for dinner.
According to Krishnamurti, what is the most positive action?
Krishna Monthly, that is. It's a magazine.
The most positive action?
Yes, the most positive action.
Reaching
eating.
Nirvana.
Thinking well of one's neighbor.
Mm-mm. Contemplating one's navel.
Answering this question.
Contemplating somebody else's navel.
It is to negate a falsehood. To negate a falsehood.
I'll go along with that.
Okay. That's not bad.
What did Curly of the Three Stooges share in common with the British nation?
Flat hair.
No.
Flat head. Flat out.
No. It's a great sense
flat
of
feet.
Affection for a certain thing.
They both love the aristocracy.
A living thing.
The Malvinas? He liked the Malvinas?
No.
They liked animals.
Certain
kind
of animals.
Sheep.
Horses.
No.
No.
Dogs.
Dogs.
Royalty.
Yes.
Dogs.
Yes.
But you repeat yourself.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
What is the real name of the comedian Joan Rivers credits as her major influence?
Well, first of all, let's figure out.
Fang, you mean?
No.
Who the.
That's not Joan Rivers.
Oh,
who is her?
Oh, that's Diller.
Yeah.
Who is her favorite, or who's her greatest influence?
Yes, that's the question first.
Bob Hope.
No.
Is it a man?
A comedian, and he was known for his incredibly bitter view of
Lenny
life.
Bruce.
That's right. Now, what was his real name?
Leonard Bruce.
It's Leonard.
Leonard.
It's actually
Leonard Bruce something.
Actually Leonard Bernstein. And this has been
but
one of the best kept secrets of American culture.
Now it can be revealed.
Yes. Only here.
Wait,
for the
we
first
don't know
time.
Bruce.
Ladies and gentlemen of America and all the ships at sea. Tonight we are making a major announcement on this radio program. What was his name?
Schneider.
Yeah, see?
Leonard Bernstein Schneider.
Leonard Bernstein Schneider.
Right.
When watching 25-year-old British films, describe a useful way of understanding the amount of money involved when characters speak of pounds, the ravages of inflation and the vicissitudes of international exchange being what they have
multiply by 5.
Ounces. Just think of ounces when they say pounds.
25 years ago?
Yeah.
Well,
multiply by five.
Make
$5
it a dollar. Just make it a dollar.
You see, that's close. I mean, that's exactly what it should be. He has here, think of them as $20 bills.
Not 25 years ago. I was there 30 years ago, jerk.
That's Mr. Jerk.
Yes.
Let's be more polite.
Oh, excuse me. I don't mean to get informal. Mm-hmm. Not $20.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to go back maybe turn of the century for that.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
What was the worst disaster to befall the New York City numbers betting industry in the 1960s?
The lottery. OTB. Some kind of official state-run lottery.
No.
It's not.
Well, no, that's not the answer. No.
Oh.
Master charge.
No, I'll have to give it to you. It was the day the Dow Jones Stock Average, which is used in the determination of the winning number, closed coincident with the zip code of Harlem, New York.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That's... Mm-hmm.
And what happened? And everybody hit the number.
Everybody hit that number.
Everybody hit the numbers.
Yes. Oh, yes. Where was I? Must have been in Iowa then.
That's right. That's right.
My luck.
We're never around at the right time. What is the name of the number expressed as a 1 with 10 to the 100th power zeros following?
Google.
That's right. A Google. That's right.
I better get one of these. Barney Google. Barney Google. Right. And then there's a Googleplex, too.
What's that?
That's right.
That's one. That's four-sided. 1 to the 10 to the 100.
That's right. That's right.
1 to the 10 to the 100.
It's not 1. It's 10 to the 10 to the 100.
That's 10 right. A Googleplex. To the 10
to the 100.
That's it.
Oh.
Well, we thank Mr. Whatever his name is, he did not stump the panel.
Mr. Bing.
But, yes, well, if that's his name, something like that. But we thank him, and he'll be receiving his little gift package and send in some more questions.
Yeah, that was good.
Those are good.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he should wait a little while before he sends some.
Practice at home.
Okay. Our next set of questions come from Steve Miller of Van Dyke Charlie's Restaurant.
Good old Steve.
Up there in...
Hi, Steve.
Wherever
it's Warren
it is,
or somewhere.
Someplace like
Hi,
that.
Yeah. Steve.
Warren, Sterling Heights.
That's right. Sterling Heights, Michigan.
It's on Van Dyke and something, yeah.
Who says? This starts right in. He wants you to answer these questions. Okay.
All right.
What was the last name of Beaver Cleaver's buddy Larry? Mondello. I won't even let you agonize on that one. Who wrote White Christmas?
Berlin.
That's right. What U.S. city hosts the world's tallest building?
Chicago.
That's right.
Sears. So you all thought I was going to say New York, didn't you?
No.
That was what he thought. But we didn't say New York. We said Chicago.
Where is the nation?
You should be New York, incidentally.
Yes,
because
where
the Empire State Building was there.
Yeah. Where is the nation?
Then they built the World Trade Center.
Why did they take the Empire State Building out of New York?
Well, they put it somewhere else. They didn't need it anymore after the...
Lake Havasu, Arizona, wasn't it?
Is that it? It went through Fort
after the
Wayne,
world, after
and then
King
I lost
Kong,
track of
they
it.
Didn't need it anymore.
I see. They'd done that movie.
Where is the nation's silver supply stored?
In the mines.
No.
Or in those Texas Brothers' house.
Nope.
The Hunt Brothers.
Nope. Nope.
In some mountain somewhere.
No.
What, in New York
there
City.
There isn't any.
Yes, there is. It's in New York State.
New York State.
Attica.
I was in New York State. I never saw it.
It's in Attica.
No, it's not in Attica. It's where you've got a lot of soldiers around to protect it.
Fort.
It's not a fort yet, quite. It's a place where you prepare people to take over the military.
Oh, West.
Yes.
Point.
West Point?
Point.
Yes. Yes.
They keep silver there?
Apparently.
To make medals with, I don't know.
I guess. What was Babe Ruth's real first name?
George.
That's right.
Herman.
That's right.
George.
George Herman Ruth.
Yes. Who played Tonto opposite Clayton Moore?
Jay Silverhill.
That's right. What is the square root of 81?
9.
That's right. Who wrote The Glass Menagerie?
Tennessee Williams.
Right. Who became president?
He was moved to Arizona also.
Following FDR's death.
Harry S.
Truman.
That's right. What state is Montpelier the capital of?
Vermont.
Yes. Who holds the Major League Baseball record? Oh, we're out of time.
I do.
Okay.
Willie Hernandez.
Happy New Year, everybody.
I'd like to thank the panel today, Professor Pickering, Professor Peace, Professor Nichols, Professor Klemanski, and I'd like to say, on behalf of all the rest of our people and crew here, Paul Murray, our producer, Jim Wyatt, his associate today, Roger Hino, who sometime occasionally helps him out, Jim Muir, our technical director, Vivian Dix, our producer, all those wonderful people that hang around
We've
this
made
building
this such
with nothing
a swell
to do.
Year for all
That's
of us.
Right.
Indeed.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And I'm Michael Jason. Thank you for joining us today for this classic New Year's edition of Ask the Professor from 1985. We're back with more brand new shows next week.